Thank you, Luke, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in our first reading over the last couple of months, really, we've been considering, haven't we, the journey of the children of Israel to the Promised Land. The book of Numbers begins with the children of Israel were told they were in the wilderness of Sinai, and it ends 38 years later with them camped in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. And so they're on the border of the land and almost ready to go in and possess their inheritance. And so the book of Deuteronomy begins with the people at the very edge of the land. And before crossing over Jordan to possess this inheritance, Moses gives the people this one final encouragement, this exhortation that they need to be careful, that they keep the words of the law that's been delivered to them. It's interesting because when we began reading Deuteronomy, I went through the book and highlighted where Moses instructed the people that they should be doing something. And you find that there's this continual and recurring theme throughout Deuteronomy, which instructs the people that they need to be active in God's service. So, for example, if you come across to chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, just take a couple of examples from chapter 5, and it illustrates really for us the whole purpose of the exhortation that Moses is giving to the people. It was to make them buy into the personal responsibility that they all individually had of keeping God's laws and precepts. Every one of them had this personal and individual responsibility. So we read verse 1 of chapter 5. Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them." So he's instructing them. They had to hear him. They had to learn God's laws. They had to keep them and do them. And again in verse 32, "You will observe to do, therefore, as Yahweh your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which Yahweh your God has commanded you, that you may live, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." And so again, this theme, observe to do and walk in his ways. And that's the theme that comes up time and again throughout the whole book of Deuteronomy. It's this continual repetition of the responsibility that everyone in Israel had to hear the word, to learn the word, to keep the word, and to do what was being commanded in it. They had this personal duty upon each and every one of them. Do you know that that's exactly the same for every one of us today, isn't it? There has to be a practical response from us to the words of the Lord. And if you come over to Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, and just illustrate that this is a principle that hasn't changed over 4,000 years. God wants this personal response from every one of us. Because we read Revelation 1 verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand." And so just like the Israelites under the law were instructed to have this personal responsibility to keep the words, Jesus is telling us there in his final address to us in Revelation that we need to read, we need to hear, and we need to keep his words. The same message, isn't it? That essentially, the commandments of the Lord Jesus have to have some sort of outworking in our individual lives. A book knowledge and understanding of these things isn't good enough. That was the problem, of course, with the Jews, wasn't it? That they all knew the finer details of the law, but they couldn't apply it in a life of service to God. Revelation 1 tells us there quite plainly that a practical and a personal responsibility and an outworking of God's word is essential for every one of us. That we have that responsibility to apply ourselves to God's word. Not only to read it, not only to understand it, but also, and most importantly, to keep it. Come over to chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, which is our reading that we had read together for today. There's a number of similarities between Israel in the book of Deuteronomy and our own lives today, of course. We're both at the border of the inheritance that's promised to us. Just as they had Moses, we have the prophet like unto Moses, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Moses delivered the law to them twice, he gave it to them once in Sinai and once in the plains of Moab. And so too for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his commandments in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 to 7, and then in the plain in Luke chapter 6. And just as Israel were instructed to hear, to learn, to keep and to do God's law, we are also instructed to do the same, to read, to hear and to keep the commandments of the Lord. So many similarities between us. But in Deuteronomy 27, we see that there is also a big difference. We see what an advantage we have over the Israelites through the Lord Jesus Christ, because whilst they were cursed by the law, whilst their inheritance was conditional on them keeping every word of the law, in total contrast to that, we are blessed through having faith in Christ. We have the blessings of Abraham unconditionally extended to us. So Deuteronomy 27 and verse 9. And Moses and the priest, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of Yahweh thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of Yahweh thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. So notice it's the same exhortation that we picked up with, that the Moses has been labouring through his address to them. You have to take heed, you have to hearken, you have to obey and do his commandments. And then we have in verse 11 some instructions as to what they were commanded to do once they had crossed over into the land. Because he says to them in verse 11, Moses charged the people that same day, saying, These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse, Reuben, Gad, and Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. I'm sure we're all familiar with this incident. And Moses instructs them that when they've crossed over into their inheritance, they were to go to these two mountains, Ebal and Gerizim, and half of the tribes were to go and stand on Ebal to curse, and half of the tribes were to stand on Gerizim to bless. And as the chapter continues, we're told that the Levites were to stand in the valley between those mountains and to read aloud the blessings and the cursings of the law. And then those corresponding tribes were to answer and to say Amen. And what that meant in practical terms for them was that they were, when they heard the blessings and the cursings of the law, they were to pronounce, really, that they fully understood the implications of it and affirm that they were going to follow the commandments that were contained in it. So we read in verse 14, And the Levites shall speak, and say unto the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image, an abomination unto Yahweh, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say Amen. Cursed be he that sets light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say Amen. And the list continues with the cursings that the Lord would bring upon those who did those things. Those who removed their neighbor's landmark in verse 17, those who misled the blind in verse 18, those who perverted judgment in verse 19, and so on through the chapter, we have 12 curses to the people who didn't keep specific details of the law. And it goes all the way down to verse 26, where it says finally, Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say Amen. And so although here there's 12 specific curses pronounced upon them, the last one actually encompasses the whole of the law, doesn't it? It says, if you don't keep even the smallest commandment of this law, of which, of course, we know there was many, then it's going to curse you. Notice, though, the very significant omission in chapter 27. There's 12 curses pronounced, but there's no blessings. Verse 12 tells us that there was going to be blessings read out. And when we look at what actually happened in Joshua chapter 8, we're told that Joshua read the blessings and the cursings to the people. So there was indeed blessings. fact, Joshua tells us that he read the blessings first to the people and then the cursings. And so if you were to put the blessings of the law into this chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, whatever those blessings were, they should have been recorded between verses 12 and 13. But they're deliberately left out. Why was that? Well, the Apostle Paul actually tells us why. But before we look at that, just notice the division of the tribes in verses 12 and 13. How these 12 tribes are split into two groups of six. Two groups, so that half of them can stand on one mountain and half can stand on the other mountain. How does Moses split them up? How would you split up the 12 tribes of Israel into two equal groups? Well, verse 13 tells us those who were going to go and stand to bless. We have Simeon, the son of Leah, Levi, the son of Leah, Judah, the son of Leah, Issachar, the son of Leah, Joseph, the son of Rachel, and Benjamin, the son of Rachel. And so we have all the children of Leah and Rachel, the children of the free women, and as such, you could say, those who were of the most honourable of the tribes. And then we have those who were to curse. We have Reuben, the son of Leah, Gad, the son of Zilpah, the handmaid, and Asher, the son of Zilpah, the handmaid, Zebulun, the youngest son of Leah, Dan, the son of Bilhah, the handmaid, and Naphtali, the son of Bilhah, the handmaid. Four of them, all children of the bondwomen. And then those other two, the oldest and the youngest sons of Leah. And I suppose the question is, why does Moses choose Zebulun and Reuben to go and stand with those children of the bondwomen to curse? Well, I think Reuben's easy. Reuben, the oldest of Leah's children, he was chosen, I suspect, because of his past conduct. As Jacob prophesied it in Genesis 49, he said, "Reuben, you're unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou went up to thy father's bed." And so Reuben was chosen to curse because of what we're told in verse 20 of Deuteronomy 27. "Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt." And so because of his past conduct, Reuben and his tribe lost their honour and forfeited their birthright. And so they were sent to go and curse. And with him, Zebulun. And Zebulun probably because he was the youngest of the children of Leah. And as such, being the youngest, according to the culture of the times, he was the most insignificant and the least honourable of all the children of Leah. And so you see then that the way in which they were divided, we have on the one hand the most honourable of the tribes, those who came from the free women who were sent to go and bless, and then the least honourable of the tribes, and those from the bond women, they were sent to go and curse. And then Deuteronomy only gives us the cursings from the least honourable tribes. Well, why was that? Well, the reason for us is actually recorded in Galatians chapter 3. So if we go over to Galatians 3, because Paul tells us the difference here between the bond and the free. In effect, he's telling us the difference between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. Of course, Galatians was written, wasn't it, to the Galatians because they had they'd learned the liberty in Christ, and yet they were turning again to keep the things of the law. And so Paul wrote Galatians to illustrate how much better they were under Christ, and how that the Lord Jesus Christ had superseded the teachings of the law. And so he says in verse 10 of chapter 3, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." So we see there then, Paul's quoting, isn't he, from Deuteronomy 27. The last curse that was read out on Mount Ebal, cursed is everyone who doesn't keep the law. And then he goes on to explain to us what it all means. And this is why we have no blessings recorded in that chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. He says, verse 11, that no man is justified. And I'm sure you know the word justified, it means free or righteous. No man is made free by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just will live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And so this is the problem with the law. The righteous live by faith, but the law wasn't based on having faith. It was based upon doing the works of the law. It was based upon keeping all the commandments of the law. And so as Deuteronomy 27 tells us, once you'd entered into that contract of the law, if you didn't keep the smallest commandment of it, then the law was going to curse you. And as we know, even the Lord Jesus Christ, despite his perfect life, he was cursed by the law because he couldn't keep it. Verse 13 tells us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. So it's evident, isn't it, as Paul's bringing out for us here, all the law could do was to curse you. It highlighted failings and it highlighted shortcomings. It was impossible for anyone to keep it in its entirety. And therefore, it couldn't give you a complete or a lasting blessing. And even Jesus, says Paul, who was perfect in every respect, he was cursed by the law, simply by the way in which he died. And what Paul is saying is that because Jesus was perfect, and yet he was cursed by the law, he highlighted for us the shortcomings of the law, and he freed us from its curse. And so you see then, this event on Ebal and Gerizim in Deuteronomy, it's a parable for us, it's a type. Those who are standing upon the Mount of Blessing, those who were the children of the free, the most honourable of the tribes, represented the blessings which were still future in Christ. And those who were standing on Ebal, the Mount of Cursing, the least honourable of the tribes, the children of the bondwomen, they were representative of the law. And that's exactly why Moses commanded the people to write the words of the law and to put them on the Mount of Cursing. We read it in Deuteronomy. It said in Deuteronomy, Moses says to them, when you are gone over Jordan, you will take these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And you will write upon the stones all the words of the law very plainly. And so the children of Israel were commanded to take the stones and to place them upon the Mount of Cursing and write the law upon it. And so the law and the curses were joined inseparably together upon the mountain of cursing, and they were read out by the least honourable of the tribes. And so it's evident, isn't it, that the curse came by the law. But the blessings of Abraham, they were to be confirmed 2,000 years later in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ through what he has accomplished for every one of us. And that's why no blessings were read at that time in Deuteronomy. So we read verse 14 of Galatians 3. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so you see then, Paul is telling us that the blessings of Abraham, they came through Jesus, that they didn't come through the law. And that's why Deuteronomy doesn't record any of those blessings for us. It's because the means where those blessings could be obtained, the blessings of Abraham, at the time when Israel were preparing to go in and take their inheritance, the way of achieving those blessings wasn't possible for them. It was still future in Christ. The law couldn't give the blessings to them. Just to finish the point, come over a chapter to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, of course, Paul's speaking here about Sarah and Hagar, the bondwoman and the free woman. But the principle of being bond and free is the same as the principle that we find on Ebal and Gerizim. We read verse 30 of Galatians 4. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. It can't be any plainer than that, can it? That we are made free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are free, spiritually speaking, we are standing together, aren't we? We are upon Mount Gerizim, on the Mount of Blessing. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are partakers in the blessings of Abraham. Blessings that are based upon us having faith in the Lord and not in the keeping of the works of the law. And therefore, contrary to the law, when we fail, when we fall short of keeping those things that the Lord has commanded us to do, we are not cursed. But rather, if we have faith in Christ, then we are forgiven for our failings. Through the new and living way in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is just and he is able to forgive us for all our sins. And that really highlights for us, doesn't it, the blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas the law only cursed you, the Lord Jesus Christ can bless us. How blessed we are in Christ. But we also have a warning, don't we, in verse 13 of chapter 5 of Galatians. We are free, but that does not mean that we don't have a responsibility to serve the Lord correctly. Because Paul tells us that we have to stand fast. We have liberty, we have freedom, we are redeemed from the curse, but that doesn't negate our responsibility to show our faith by our works. Verse 13. Ye have been called unto liberty, called unto freedom. We are free. We are not sons of the bondwomen, we are sons of the free. Only, he says, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed one of another. I suppose the question I need to be asking myself now as we come to take of the emblems is how well have I loved my neighbour as myself? How well have I taken that personal responsibility that I have upon myself and served others? We are free, yet we have a responsibility. If you come over finally to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, at the end of his address to Israel, Moses said, I have set you before you all life and death, blessing and curse. For thou and thy seed that you may live. And so Moses placed before them a choice, didn't he? It was a choice between life and blessing or between death and cursing. And just like the Israelites, I suppose that same choice is set before every one of us, isn't it? The way in which we are living our life today has really already determined which one of those choices we've taken. The Matthew 25, and of course this is part of a longer discourse that illustrates for us the difference between the wise and the foolish. But in verses 31 to 46, we have the details of the final judgment seat of Christ. We read in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so notice, it's the blessed who inherit the kingdom. Why are they blessed? Well, it's as a result of their works. We read verse 35. I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. What a testament that is to the faith of the righteous. They have been diligent to hear and to keep and to do God's word. And their good deeds had become such a part of their daily lives that they didn't even know that they were doing them. They said, when is it that we did these things to you, Lord? Their faith had become such a part of them that they didn't even know that their good works were seen before men. But what about the other class, the cursed? Verse 41. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. There's a great contrast, isn't there, between the blessed and the cursed. Because these who are cursed, because these people were so detached from the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't recognize that there had been no outworking of their faith in their lives. They knew the Lord Jesus. I guess they knew his commandments, but they hadn't observed them. They hadn't read, they hadn't kept or done any of his commandments. And you know, that simply is the difference for us between life and death. So as we take the emblems now, let us ever appreciate that we are not on Mount Ebal to be cursed by the law. We are free, and we are standing with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to bless us. He will keep us, and he will give us the blessings of Abraham, but of course only if we do our part. And so let that be our exhortation for the week ahead. Let us indeed read, hear, and keep the words of the Lord. May we ever appreciate how fortunate we are to be under Christ and not under the law. He has set us free. He tells us, doesn't he, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so in the week ahead, let us all strive to be more like unto him. Let us read, hear, and keep his commandments, that we might be the blessed of his Father, who inherit the kingdom that is prepared for those who keep his will.